Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in South Pasadena, and I have my fabulous co-host, Margaret Sheldon, in Boston on the line. Happy holidays, my friend.
Well, thank you. Can you believe we're in the middle of December? I cannot.
Well, if I had Christmas decor up, I would.
Oh, that's right. Well,
okay, so I was approached in August to film a Warner Brothers big movie at our house. And I was like, heck yeah, because they take over your house. It's pretty crazy. And they fortunately pay you a decent amount of money. So I said, sure, we'd love to do it. And that was going to be in November, the second week in November. Well, guess what? They filmed this week. They did 2 days of prep. We did 2 days of filming with a very pretty well-known movie star, wouldn't you say? I can't say yet who it is. I can say who it is. He was very nice. And they are now putting my house back together. But what this entailed, because the scene takes place on Thanksgiving, 100% of my Christmas decor had to get taken down. And I've been doing a little bit on stories every day about funny things that have happened, not so funny things that have happened, and how trashed my house has been. It's the worst we filmed for 18 years, Margaret. It's the worst I've ever seen it. Trashed just from one. They used every single room in our house except the bathrooms and my craft room. So there was there's stuff like in my basement that belongs in my master bedroom. I'm like, how did you even go down there? How did you even know to go down there? You weren't supposed to go down. I mean, it's just crazy. So there's like 20 people here trying to put stuff back. And yeah, I'm going to probably look outside and see stuff on my table that they're packing up that belongs to me.
Oh, yeah. Keep your eye on that.
No,
all,
I do.
All I can think
I
of
do.
Is your house must be so clean when they leave, because they move furniture that in the course
that hasn't
of life
been
you
moved
would never
in
move.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole thing kind of freaks me out. And right now I'm looking out there and I see one of my plants. Oh, geez. In the middle of the show, I'll start banging on my window. Don't pack that. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, it's been crazy. But we have the show happening.
Yes,
and I'm pretty proud of myself that we do.
Why? Yes.
How are you?
Well, thanks. Everything is great here. This was a week where there was a lot going on. I'm happy to say I'm finishing up. I have my last rehab, PT appointment tomorrow. And
don't say rehab.
That means right. So I graduate from, knee replacement surgery back into the real world. And I hope that, I don't know, this has been a really great experience. I'm going to miss my physical therapist just because it's kind of nice to have a personal trainer that makes you do 10 more when you think you're going to croak. But it's been
absolutely
great. And so that's going on. I have to deliver a painting tomorrow because, I got into the Copley Society, and there's a new members show in January. So if anybody's in Boston, please go to the Copley Society on Newbury Street.
Awesome.
Because, I'm very excited about that. And I've finished up a couple of house portraits that I don't feel like I can post until after they've been given as gifts, they're commissioned. So I posted early ones, but now I've got to hold back. But on that note, I should tell you, Leslie, you do things ahead of time. I am not guilty of that.
So I'm laughing because I'm like, I do.
Yes. Well, you had your Christmas decor up. I'm still, if it's not decorated enough, I just put more twinkle lights up. That's a solution for me. But I had a repeat client order up a house portrait, which I finished, and then I realized, she wants it framed. So I did end up calling, we interviewed Roger from Frank and Frames, and I never want to say, oh, it's Margaret. Remember we interviewed you? But I did call him up, and I just threw myself on his mercy and said, I need this really fast. And I'm happy to say there's a big fat sale going on for any other procrastinators out there. And in 3 days, I got these frames from Tennessee. They're being delivered today. So you know what? By Monday, I think I'll have all of my obligations met and delivered and checks in hand, which is a great way to go into the last little bit of Christmas. And my kids are coming home, so that's good, because I don't know how other artists do it, but when my family is around, I just have to shrug and give up. I cannot get into my studio. I don't really want to, because
no.
Now that, you know, everybody's on their own, I like spending every minute with them, but there are times when I sort of look in the direction of my studio and I feel a little mixture of, you know, I'm wistful and I'm sad and I'm guilty and it'll still be there, and I know that. But it is hard. I think knowing that I really shouldn't go in there makes me want to.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse psychology on myself.
Sure.
So anyway, you know, I usually give myself permission to take some time off at this time of year. And I think as of Monday, that will be happening. I probably won't be in the studio for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of running our own calendar, I suspect. But
yeah,
it does sort of, you get into a groove when you're really cranking. Do you find that with deadlines? You sort of, you do more because you have to.
Oh, absolutely. And I, in my new job, as an Instagrammer or blogger or whatever the heck you want to call it, I way overcommitted to collaborations with brands, primarily because this was my first holiday season as an Instagrammer who would get approached by brands to do paid collaborations. And so when people were asking me if I wanted to do something in October, I was like, yeah, sure, not knowing that more people would be asking. No, but you know, I didn't know, and I was thrilled. And then I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. So I kept raising my price, and they still kept asking, and I raised it again. And the next thing I knew, I had 21 brand collaborations for the holidays, which is insane.
Holy smokes.
And because I can't just, like, say, here is a TV mount, I have to say, here's a great flat TV mount, and let me show you how you can build a frame around your flat screen TV and make it look like a piece of art. Okay, so so then I had to build a frame to go around a piece of art, a TV. So it was so much work that there was 2 weeks where I don't think I went to bed before 2 a.m. Because I had so much to do. And you have to write blog posts, and you have to write Instagram posts, and you have to do Instagram stories, and then you have to send it all over to the brand, and they have to approve it all, and they have to send it back in a timely fashion, which often doesn't happen. And it's just, it's insane.
Wow.
Insane.
But admirable. There you go. You learn what you can do when you're pushed.
It was fun. It was horrible. It was crazy. And then we have this movie, and then we have this little party on a week from tomorrow, which I'm cooking for 200 that I've barely started because I didn't have a kitchen this whole week. So, you know, it's just going to all work out somehow. I don't know how. But anyway, that's not why we're here today. So Margaret and I have been thinking about next year. And, you know, there's a New Year's resolution, and I hate New Year's resolutions because I think I break every single one of them. So we kind of decided, let's each do 10 things that we're going to do to change our art for next year. And I'm obviously not painting as much as I used to, but I have a lot of great ideas of what you all can do to change your art. And it's, we've kind of looked at them for ourselves, but we've also expanded them so we can talk about how you can do some of them as well. And it's just a really great list, I think. And maybe you do one or two of these. Maybe do all of them. Who knows? But I'm going to start out, and I know you're going to be shocked, but the first one is to completely grasp social media and Instagram. I mean, Instagram has changed my life in the last 2 years. For some reason, there are a lot of people out there that are following my Instagram, and it's just been a really incredible way for me to share the things I'm so passionate about. Art and crafts and home decor, and it's just been miraculous. And there's so many things I have learned about Instagram. And one of the things that I feel very strongly about is engagement. And since day one, I used to answer every single comment on every single post I did. Now I can't do that because on some posts I get like 1,000 comments, so there's obviously no way I could do that. But I try to answer them all on the first day. So if I post this morning, I'll answer all the comments I get today. And what I learned about that, and a lot of people are like, it doesn't matter. And here's the thing. When people see your Instagram account, they don't have to press like or comment because they see it. The reason why they'll press like or they'll comment on it is because they think you'll see it. Because they think that you care. And you should. And you need to.
Right.
If you never respond or never engage with people, then they're not going to comment. They'll still see it. And so it's really important. I mean, I feel like, wow, if they're going to take the time to respond, I should respond back to them if I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I agree.
My number one goal, and I think everyone else's goal should be, to engage with your audience on Instagram because it's what you want to do. And they want to get to know you, and they want to know that you saw their comment and that you cared that they comment. And even if you only get 10 comments a day, that's great because it's a manageable thing to do. And you just can't write, thank you, thank you, thanks. I mean, you know, if someone just puts emojis, I might give them 3 hearts back. You know what I mean? But if someone says something that you could actually have a meaningful comment on, then do that. Take the time. So that's my biggie.
That is a biggie. It's one I'm trying to incorporate. I have to say that when I do it, I definitely see results.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think, I just need to live by the word of Leslie and things will work out. Well, I'm coming down on the side of good old-fashioned, tried and true calendars. And I know we've talked about this before, but I have to say, mapping out the year is a really, even if it's, you know, maybe it's a lofty goal, I don't know. But I think this is the time of year where it's sort of like going back to school, you know, fresh notebooks. Well, a fresh calendar is just as good. And if you can kind of look at the year, I think it allows you to try and impose some sanity on it. You know, schedule in time with your family. I was just talking about how hard it is to be torn. But if you can use sort of a countdown calendar, you know, where you actually look at what the due dates are and work backwards, you know, if I want to enter a show, it is really important for me to spend some time with the calendars, figure out what shows fit, figure out if what pieces of art I want to use for it, count back, look at what the entry date is, even so far as like, for me, it comes down to thinking about themes. I mean, right now you can probably see on a lot of different calendars, whether it's art organizations or whatever, wherever it is you show your art, even if it's on Instagram, figure out the calendar and go month by month, because the truth is you're going to miss things that perfect opportunities for you to show your work. You will miss it if you don't have it down. And this is a great time if you, maybe you can't get into your studio like me, your family's around, but you know, there's always those times where everyone's off doing their own thing. Grab your calendar, start thinking about next year. I also find, this is an aside, but if I look at this year's calendar, I can see where my bottlenecks were. And this may not be a resolution, but it's certainly a goal for me to avoid those. You know, avoid having a crazy, crazy September. Just because, I don't know, I'm at the point in my life where if I can avoid chaos, at least self-imposed chaos, I would love to. So
when you say calendar, what
do
you physically mean? Is it a big one on the wall? Is it a desk thing? Is it your phone? What do you recommend?
This is sort of like opening up my closet and showing you whether it's neat or messy. I make the cardinal sin of duplication, and I'll tell you why. I use a planner. I use Emily Lay's planner because I love the layout and I love the philosophy of it. You know, it's got a spiral binding on it. It's really hard cover. And she says, your planner should be left open on your counter so that as you go through your day, you can put things down in it. And I have to say, that works for me. I have the whole month in front of me, and then I can just flip to the day. I also use the calendar on my phone. You know, I have an iPhone because sometimes I don't have the big planner at hand. If I'm leaving the dentist and I'm scheduling an appointment 6 months out, I put that in my phone. My phone, I try to coordinate. I can't tell you I do it daily. Probably once a week, I'll flip through it and make sure I've transferred things into my planner because I need two levels. And then just because I like them and I'm a total sucker for graphics, I have a great big, huge, you know, 2 foot by 3 foot calendar that I keep in my studio so that I can, you know, when I see a show that I want to enter or a gallery show that I want to see or a museum, something or other, I put it on the big one in fat letters because then it's like in my face. And I have to say, till my dying day, I will always need those big visual reminders because if I don't have them, forget it. So the problem with that is if you don't have it, if you don't have it centralized, you're apt to lose it. So my central planner is where I try to get everything. But the phone goes with me wherever I go. And when I'm sitting in my studio, I can see those great big reminders in front of me.
So
it takes all of that and I still blow it.
Yeah. So I have a planner that I use for all my deadlines. And I have a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I have like for every collaboration I do or blog post, blog hop or whatever it may be, I have like four deadlines that go with it that are previous to that. So my November and December calendar were insane. But I have, and my phone is all the timed appointments that I have. You know, like I have a doctor appointment, I have a haircut, I have a phone, I have, you know, a conference call. Those are on there. But I just found this new like large wall calendar that I haven't ordered yet. It's sitting there on my laptop. I like the fact that it just goes continuously. It doesn't have January and February, and it's all the year in the little blocks, and you can put the little post-it notes. They fit there perfectly. I just don't know if I need that too because I cannot do three calendars.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you
why.
Because then what happens is like you'll have January and February, and then March will have only a couple, and then April won't have anything.
Yeah.
Don't do it. I was a sucker for the graphics on this calendar, the big one that I bought. And I use it more for art deadlines just because I can scratch them on there and see them.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, yeah, it's, I would love it. I wish I could have, you know, an assistant. But I don't, so.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Me too. Me too. Okay. The next thing you can do to change your art for 2019 is to paint more. And even if it's a goal of painting two paintings a week, these do not have to be gallery level paintings. They can be fresh starts. They can be trying something different. They can be, you know, you want to do a big painting, so let's do some small ones just kind of play a little bit, you know, different perspective. Trying different colors, whatever it may be. I think it's really important to have a painting goal, whether it's I'm going to be in my studio every morning, because what happens is when you're working for yourself is if you don't look at it like a real job where you would go to an office and stay there from 9 to 5 and take an hour for lunch and that's it, then you'll get distracted. And one of the things we love about being an artist in a lot of cases is we do have flexibility, but you just have to treat it like a job, and that comes down to preserving and protecting your painting time. I've talked to a lot of artists that struggle with this, and it's hard for them, and if they don't have a deadline and they, you know, they don't have a commission, they don't have a show they're painting for, it's just kind of like, wow, that I only painted one painting in the last 2 weeks. What happened? So I just wanted to mention that because it just seems like it's a bit of a struggle for a lot of people. So
it is. It
yeah.
is. And, you know, I just went to an artist gathering. There's something at the Cambridge Art Association. It's called the Feedback Forum, and it's run for artists, by artists, three people sign up and sort of show what they're working on, and they look for some feedback. And this woman had big, gorgeous paintings. I have to say, as soon as she started to put them up, I thought, oh, I love this work. And then she had little handouts on, they were no more than 8 by 8 inches, and they were paper collages, little studies that she does before the painting. And they in themselves were little beautiful, you know, torn paper and compositions. And I thought, isn't that clever? And she does those when she can't be at her easel. And it's sort of a good example of other ways you can engage your brain, maybe without, you know, sitting down in front of a 48 by 48 inch canvas. And it's something I hope I can do more of this year.
Absolutely.
Okay, here's my next tip, which is, you know, if you talk to artists, you know, in depth for any length of time, people will start talking about finances. And what they do is they talk about how difficult it is, well, start at the beginning, to price their art, how expensive art supplies are, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line, and I joke about it a lot, I always say, well, you've got to sell enough to pay for your passion. You want to sell enough paintings, right, so that you're not bleeding money unnecessarily. I mean, I suppose if you have an unlimited bank account, more power to you. But most artists I know are just trying to get to that comfort level. And, you know, it's sort of like fund your own art. I think if you really get a true picture of how much your painting or whatever it is you're doing is costing you, you know, how you're spending your money, there are so many ways you could be probably more efficient at that. And for me, I think it comes down to managing my supply inventory. In other words, I have too many tubes of paint that are half used, or, you know, I commit the cardinal sin of not capping them properly. And or I just remember every time I go into the art store, for some reason, I am sure I need ultramarine blue. Well, that's because I did about 8 months ago, and now I have three tubes of it. Because when I stand there, I think, well, I know I need ultramarine blue. I think getting that under control, really organizing myself, is a big goal for this next year. Because, you know, as much as I talk about it, I don't really keep an inventory sheet, at least not one that comes with me to the art store. And I'm just remembering ultramarine when I'm standing there. So this is the year I hope to really get that under control. The other thing that I'm going to do this year is convert myself from the smaller tubes. I think they're 37, whatever it is, mLs, 30, to the big ones. I want the big tubes. I think it's, first of all, you get a big break on the cost if you're buying the big tubes, especially because if they go on sale, it's a great deal. The other thing is, this year I took a workshop with Craig Pursley, and he convinced me that the best way to squeeze more paint out on your palette is to be using the larger tubes. And it is true. I've always bought small tubes because I thought, oh, the big ones are so heavy. I do a lot of painting outside. Well, now I've got plenty of small tubes, as you all know. And now I have enough ultramarine to last me a lifetime. But I can start buying for studio work the big tubes and see how that changes the practice of art for me.
Yeah.
Organization. Yep.
Yeah, organization. What's that like? Oh my gosh. Oh, you did see my Carriage House Art Studio on my Instagram stories.
I'm not lying when I tell you that I sort of let out a
Okay, I have like 8 Christmas trees in my house, and probably remember, this is my job now, and probably 15 bins and boxes of stuff, and they all went in there, and it's insane. I mean, it's really insane. I have 20 wreaths. All the wreaths went in there.
Gosh.
The garland is in there. I mean, everything got taken down and stuffed in my carriage house. So I you did respond, I noticed. Okay.
Well, it took my breath away.
I can't even think about it, put it that way. Okay, the next idea, or the next thing you can do, is continuing education. It's really important for artists. So you can take a workshop. You can do an online class. I mean, there's so many things you can do. And you kind of need to think about, okay, here we've got 2019. I want to take one workshop. Do your research. Find the artist you want to take from. Reach out and book it. It's really important. And if expense is an issue, which I know taking workshops is expensive because typically the travel is more costly than the actual workshop itself, do something online. I mean, Dreema has great classes. Deborah Hughes has great classes. So many people have great online classes. And I just think it's really important to kind of reach out because you never know what it's going to do. You have no clue.
That's right.
Maybe it's just buying an art book and learning that way. There's so many ways you can expand. Go on YouTube and watch all the free videos you can. There's millions of them. I just think it's a really exciting opportunity that you can definitely take advantage of, and it'll just open your eyes to so many opportunities. So it's all good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, I saw someone post some really nice figure drawings, just gestural drawings on Instagram. And underneath, she explained that, and please, I'll find out for the next show if anybody cares what it was called, but online figure drawing. And I thought to myself,
oh, you should do that.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because
you would
sometimes
love that.
You just can't, I would love that. Online figure drawing, I thought, brilliant. So, yeah, if you're interested, there's a way to do it, that's for sure.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
This is like a guilty pleasure, never mind a goal for the next year. But I think it's really worthwhile to find really just a few blogs that you enjoy. Now, there are artists who teach who do these. There are gallery owners who do these. There's a lot of blogs out there, as everyone knows. But kind of commit to a couple that seem well-suited to what you're interested in, and just follow them regularly. And this is what's really key about this is that if you find someone whose work or style or manner or whatever it is you admire, it seems inspirational. And there are some blogs that are so clever, I can't even tell you. It is a pleasure to read. When I was a kid, I remember loving reading the comics in the back of the newspaper. I feel like this is the modern day equivalent. I feel like these are people that you get to know and really enjoy. By the way, it's a great way to motivate yourself, if you're so inclined, to write a quality blog. It's almost like you have to read one in order to understand what they are. You know, once you subscribe, it'll just sort of show up. But go ahead, and if it's someone who's putting out something that you're really, you know, into, again, engage, leave comments, go back and forth. You can look you can sort of do a random search, you can ask friends, but my advice is just sort of experiment for a few weeks and look at who's out there and be really selective, because what you don't want is to see things coming into your box that you're like, oh gosh, not again. You just end up unsubscribing. So really be selective. Just choose a couple and stick with them over the course of a few months. I think you not only enjoy it and it motivates you, but I think it'll help influence how, if you're so inclined, you can write a better blog yourself. So works on
all
levels.
No, I agree. I agree. Okay, the next idea is to get some help. Whether or not that means hiring an intern, and I know you think, oh, I can't afford it. How can I do that? You know, you can hire an art student to help you out a couple hours a week, and in exchange, teach them how to paint or teach them how to sell their art on Instagram. Whatever you like to do, you can do an in-kind exchange, if you will.
Yeah.
There's a lot of school kids that need community hours that actually could help an artist because it's something that they're interested in. You know, I would definitely reach out to the high school, but even having someone help you out 5 hours a week, paying them is a very good investment. Just what it takes to get organized enough to have someone to work for you is worth the price of however much they charge.
You're right. Your studio will be clean.
I know, and you'll be so organized. And my first recommendation is give them the job you hate to do the most. Think about it.
I think that's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that you know you have to do that you – maybe it's – and we're going to talk about this. Maybe it's your receipts for all your expenses.
Oh,
I had my intern do that last summer. Oh, my gosh. She was amazing. I was so happy.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do that.
All right. Next year.
Exactly.
I know. I keep thinking, you know, if you sell one painting, it's more than paid for that time.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. And it keeps you sane. And it's a big step. But you don't have to overdo it. I mean, maybe you could get someone to come a couple hours a week, one day after school, whatever it may be. It's worth it.
Be great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm putting that on my list.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody talks about it. Really hard for anybody to get it done. But choose a day or days when you are going to look at art. Get out of your studio. I think, you know, by February, I don't know about other people, but I'm usually climbing the walls. Visit galleries. Go to those open studio events. You know, a lot of museums have, at least here in Boston, you know, Friday nights are free and there's one day free a month, even though I think artists should support museums. I get it. It's expensive. But we all need to be looking at what's happening. So I'm a big fan, of course, of sort of the American Impressionists and the Masters. But I think it's nice to balance that. Even though it might not be my taste necessarily or the way I paint, I find it really helpful to see what's happening, you know, cutting edge. Let's face it, the kids who are in grad school and are getting MFAs are doing some pretty amazing things.
Right.
Go out there and see their shows. If there's a university near you with an art department, I guarantee you they have big shows. The MFA sort of thesis shows are always fascinating. You can look at them online, but please don't do that. Go look at the art. It is a really great way for you to understand what is current and happening in the art world. And it helps to kind of flesh you out a bit, I think. It builds more of a sense of being in the community of artists. So especially young artists, I have to say, I think, you know, I'm speaking from my perspective as a, I don't know what I want to call myself. I'm not a young artist. I don't want to call myself an old artist either. But I think it really helps to be around youth. And I would encourage everyone, I mean, art is the great leveler. Go look at what's being done by the people who are young and savvy.
I agree. Okay, the next thing, I want you guys to think big. You need to have a big goal, whatever it is. And I was looking back at some of the old shows we'd done about goals, and I was laughing because one of them I wasn't even close to doing. That was writing my marketing book. Never happened. But two of them,
yeah.
Painting abstract paintings and putting together a marketing plan for working with interior designers happened, which made me super, super happy. So, yeah, it was awesome. Totally awesome.
That's
so
great.
You need to have a big goal. Write a book. Maybe start teaching workshops, approaching galleries, starting an Instagram account, redoing your website, whatever it may be. And you have to approach it in a manageable way. So pick one, really, and have a list in case you get into it and you decide you don't want to do it. Break down your tasks on a monthly basis. So let's say it's teach workshops. So I would say for the first 2 months, you want to have a plan on how you're going to be a good teacher. Maybe it's talking to some artist friends and being able to watch them teach. The first thing I would do when you're in your studio, talk out loud to yourself and explain what you're doing. It's the best thing you can do. Maybe you'll do that for a month. Suddenly, it's amazing how you'll be so much better at talking about what you're doing because you kind of get comfortable and you reuse the same explanation, which is not a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
And then throughout the year, maybe you offer a free workshop just to practice. So there are so many things that you can do, but don't kill yourself. Be realistic. See how it goes. Because a year from now, you'll be so much better off. So much better
it's
off.
True.
And it's just have that big goal. Have that big goal.
Pretty good.
So.
Oh, I have so many big goals, Leslie.
I know.
Including, it's perfect timing for me to say, this year I think I want to obviously write more because I'm kind of fascinated by that interaction between words and art. So that's what I want to be doing, is painting more, writing more. I keep hoping I'm going to meditate. But, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I start to meditate, I fall asleep. So I find a nap is helpful, too, and exercise more. I think the oddest thing that's come out of doing physical therapy, you know, both for, because I got banged up last year and then for having a knee replaced, is that I kind of like it. I find it's a really good organizing element, schedule of my day, do you know? And if I can be really regimented about this, I think it's a good thing. So there's no doubt that, you know, if you're feeling good and you're healthy and your mind is clear, you're going to be more successful at doing art.
Right.
I have to tell you that you were just talking about teaching. I don't know how it was the first time you ever taught a workshop, but the first time I ever fully committed to sort of teaching a group of particularly beginners to paint, I could not believe how exhausting it was. You know, it was not
only
hard, right, because you're talking the whole time.
Well, you're on
and you're
the whole time.
Questions. You're
and you're
on.
Nervous
and
that your painting
physically,
might suck.
Yeah. You're doing
it's
a
hard.
Demo. You're trying to get around to a lot of different people. You want everyone to have a good experience. You have to go into training for that. So I can't say enough. This year, I think, kind of integrating the sort of different pieces of your life, both the physical, the mental, the nap, whatever it is, I think this is a year to try and treat yourself better and really kind of take into account all those different pieces.
Yep. Okay, the next one is to manage your time better. And this includes a gazillion things. Maybe it's just painting out blocking time. Maybe it's spending less time on social media. Or spending more time. Certainly that's not my case. There's a lot of things you can do to manage your time better. I need to get better about focusing and finishing a task before I start something else. I'm like really bad at that. I have like, and I need to like not pick up my phone just to like check it and see what's happening. I need to stop doing that. I need to have like plan time where I'm going to answer comments, but I probably waste hours a day, like just picking it up, seeing what's going on with my Instagram and everything else. And that's a waste of time.
I believe it. Yeah.
So it's really important. And I'm not going to get into all the ways to manage your time because obviously I don't do them and I don't know them. But if you just Google how to manage your time better, there's going to be, you know, I mean, you're going to come up with thousands and thousands of hints and ways to do it. But it's mostly discipline.
Yeah.
It's really discipline. And you need to...
It is discipline. I don't know.
And new habits.
Getting your head.
So
considering you squeeze more out of a day than anyone I have ever, ever met, I think that's... You may feel like you're hopping around, but I feel like, wow, you get more done than any other human.
Yeah.
So,
I do.
Okay. I sort of, my next goal, if you will, for 2019 kind of piggybacks well on yours, which is that I thought I needed to come up with sort of what's a realistic schedule for me and then enforce it. I when I was writing these down, I wrote, you know, no interruptions. Because it's those interruptions that seem to sort of kill the day. You know, you thought you were going to have a block of time. Suddenly you have half of that. And what I realized is that I am unrealistically optimistic when I try to do a schedule. I will say from 8 to 4, I'm going to be in the studio. Well, that's ridiculous. For me, it's really ridiculous because, number one, I'm going to take a break at some point to eat in the middle of the day. I'm probably going to have to take the dogs for a walk. I mean, you know, and what I find is smaller bites are better. If I say I'm going to go into the studio for 4 hours, you know, 4 solid hours is a good chunk of time. So I need to like be realistic and a little less idealistic when it comes to thinking what I'm going to do. I mean, this is all a huge challenge. I think if you keep it realistic, you're going to make it. And that's a pretty great way to give yourself some dedicated time and then actually use it. The other thing I find interesting is, you know, there are trends and waves that are floating around. I'm starting to hear from many people, including one of my own children, who didn't answer a text I sent her. And she said, I'm trying to step away from my cell phone more. And it's exactly what you said. She said, nope, I've had it. It's become an intrusion. And so she's trying to adopt this business of only checking your emails in the morning and at the end of the day. And I thought, I'm hearing that. Like, now you've said it, she said it, I read it somewhere. And I think that we, maybe as a culture, we're starting to realize that it's too much. So,
well, I can't do it twice a day because it is my job. So
yeah.
I have to do it more than that. But I just need to get better about not doing it 50 times a day, if that makes any sense.
Hallie said,
yeah.
My daughter says, don't bring the phone with you all the time. Leave it in the kitchen if you're going to another part of the house.
Sure.
So maybe that will help. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's something that's just super important. Time, you know, it's just manage your time better. Really important.
Yeah.
Is it my
you're
turn?
Up.
Which one am
yes,
I on?
Ma'am.
13?
You're updating your financial system.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, I thought I just talked. Okay, so updating your financial systems on a more a consistent basis. I still use the app and the website Invoice to Go, and that's Invoice with the number 2 Go. It does cost a small amount, I think. Now I recommended it to someone. They're like, it costs money, and I don't think it was very much money. It's just so awesome to have, and it's just a great thing because it, you know, you can use it on your phone, and it shows you who's paid and who hasn't paid. It automatically sends them an invoice. I love it. But the other thing is keeping track of your expenses. Okay, I wrote this in a show 4 years ago, and I still haven't done it. I'm dying that I have not done this. So every year when it's time to do my taxes, there are the tax categories for small business. They don't change.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same every year.
Nope.
Why I don't have a folder with those names, like a big Pendaflex, one that has, you know, like 20 compartments, with those names of those categories, I mean, I used to put them by date. It doesn't matter what the date is. You need the whole year, but you have to file them by category. Why have I not done that? It's just pathetic.
It's because it's one more thing.
No, but it's taking an hour to set it up. And then when you spend the money, you instantly put it in the right category. So it saves me like 5 hours or 10 hours when I don't have to take over my whole dining room table and put every category out and categorize all the receipts. It's just ridiculous. I promise
okay,
you I'm
folder.
Doing that for next year and this year. And it's ridiculous. So, yeah. Just get
right.
create systems that make your life easier. It takes an hour now, and it'll save you hours and hours and hours later when it comes to financial stuff. Very important.
I love it. All right.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
All right. Okay. Well, I really like this next one, and I have to tell you why. I like any problem that I have a solution, at least pending for. And this is all about developing an artist's business plan. Now, I know I need one. Like, I will acknowledge that to you. If I had a roadmap to accomplish what it is I want to do financially, I think that would, it would just help keep me focused. And, you know, I know there's all of these different programs you can read about, you know, Right Brain Business Plan, a business plan that leads you to success, a business plan for starving artists, whatever. But, you know, business plans don't have to be boring. You don't have to have some, you know, financial consultant do it. And what I did, this was pure happenstance, is that I found out that there's a class that's being given in Boston, and it's about, you know, a very structured 7 meetings where you, it's specifically for artists, how to write your business plan. And, you know, I hate spending money on these things. I'm the first one to admit that, but I think it's $300 and I am doing it in March, because for me, I feel like I have to pay taxes. You know, there's a certain amount of not much fun, but the business end of art. I really want to put that kind of energy into figuring out where I want this to go financially. So yes, artists, I promise we will do an artist helping artists show about business plans, but we will do it after I take my class, because
yeah.
I think it'll really open some doors to us. So there you go.
Awesome. Okay. The next one, pursue your interest to paint something different, just to get you outside of your comfort zone. And I made a big switch a couple years ago, a big switch,
mm-hmm.
when I decided to paint abstracts. Best thing I ever did. I had more fun than you could imagine. I just painted last month a 60 by 90 inch painting, which is really big for an interior designer.
Good Lord.
And it's, to me, just such a fun thing to do. I absolutely like it. So figure out, you know, and you probably wonder, how do I do that? Well, start small. That's what I did. I painted little abstract paintings on canvas paper that were maybe like
mm-hmm.
5 inches by 8 inches. I used the same proportions of canvases that I had in my studio, and I just started playing. And it was really hard in the beginning. It looks like it's so easy to paint abstracts. It's so much harder than it looks. But it was the most incredible experience. I'm not saying paint abstracts. Maybe you want to try watercolor. Maybe you want to try, you know, doing pottery. I have no idea. Maybe you want to do something on your iPad like you've been doing, Margaret, which is amazing. Just
mm-hmm.
don't pigeonhole yourself, because I know there are artists that are still painting the same thing that they painted 10 years ago. And you see them, they're dying. It's so hard, but the problem
yeah.
is they're kind of pigeonholed because that's where their market is, and people want to keep buying their paintings. I'm not saying you're going to drop what you're doing. I'm saying add to it and do it for you. Don't do it for everyone
right.
else. Do it for you. A lot of people, as you know, Margaret, thought I was completely crazy and
mm-hmm.
to be painting abstracts. A lot of those people are painting abstracts now, but I didn't do it for anyone else. I did it solely for me. And just,
that's
there might
great.
Be something out there that you've always wanted to do. Maybe it's collage. I mean, who knows? And you don't even have to share it. You can keep it a big secret and just do it for you. But I think it's important to keep you happy, energized. I think it's like a kind of like a personal development task, if you will.
So, definitely.
Just saying.
There's somebody out there, and I'm trying to remember, it'll come to me, and she's been doing, you can tell it's in her, it's Peggy Kroll Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't follow her on Instagram, check her out. She's a really great painter, but she's starting to do these very basic, blocky forms. You know, she does a lot of work with values, right? And so you can tell it's her work, and she writes things like, "All right, people, I promise I'm just in this little groove for a while. Stick with me." Because she knows everyone's saying, "This isn't like your usual paintings." But I'm loving watching what she explores. So I think even if it's just like a temporary exploration, go for it. You just don't know where it's going to take you.
Yes, completely agree.
All right, it's December, and if you're like me, you're getting Christmas cards and requests for donations. I just want to say, I do think it's important at some level to, you know, quote unquote, give back. I mean, you know, whatever it is, if you can choose a cause that's special to you, I think it's really a wonderful thing to be able to donate of yourself. It doesn't matter to me if it's, you know, donating your time, maybe donating your art or even some money. But I think it is a wonderful thing for us all to kind of participate in lifting others. And I know a lot of people have many different ways to do this. I tend to focus on one thing because I think my contributions are not major. They're kind of minor in the scheme of things. And I'd rather focus it and think that, you know, an organization can maybe get some benefit from it. But kind of keep all those requests for your money or your paintings or whatever they want in a pile and then just choose one. There's no harm to come from it, and I kind of think it's good karma and an important thing to do. So.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay, the next thing is marketing. Marketing, marketing.
Mm.
You need to think about expanding your clientele because we all have the same problem. You have great art. People just aren't seeing it. And
yeah.
I know it sometimes it feels like you're banging your head against the wall, but that's because we're all trying to sell our art in the same way to the same groups of people. And you can't do that. Your art has to be seen. And maybe that means you're going to spend more time on social media, you're going to do a newsletter, I don't know what it is, but try something different and put together a plan and try to stick to it for a couple of months. But you have to think about what type of art you did. When I was doing abstract art, I knew there was a lot of interior designers that were looking for abstract art, and I worked really hard, and boy, oh boy, was that the smartest thing I did. Because interior designers, I mean, one interior designer hired me to do 5 huge paintings for one client. Another one, I went to the house in Orange County, and I did 4 paintings for their home. I mean, it was amazing. So you really need to think about, I mean, if you can find someone who has the potential to buy multiple paintings from you for their clients, that's great. But just think about where that audience is and target it and stick to it. I mean, it took me a couple months, and I actually had my intern helping me. But, boy, did it pay off. It was really, really a smart thing to do. So marketing, marketing, marketing.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are artists out there that just love sitting in their studio surrounded by their work. But most of the artists I talk to are trying to figure out ways to find good homes for their paintings. And as you say, if you can go to someone, you're solving their problem, all the better.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm going to tell you that once upon a time I thought I wanted to teach more. Now I think I just want to talk more. Which, you know, my family rolls their eyes. No, what I mean is this is the year, you know, we did a show about artists getting sort of more fluent about talking about their work. And this in this coming year, I hope to embrace that. I hope that I will, you know, sort of maybe present my work a little more, talk about it a little more. I moderated a panel of artists, you know, talking about their social media, and I really enjoyed that. So I'm not sure what that means, except I'm looking for opportunities to do that, because what I've discovered is that, you know, the teaching takes many forms. And for me, anytime you get a group together talking about either their motivation or the work that they produced or the work that they, you know, hope will evolve from what they're producing, I find that really exciting right now. So I hope this year not only to be listening to some great talk, but I'd like to just get better myself at talking about it. So not sure what I'm going to do with it, but I'm thinking about it anyway. So
yeah,
we'll see what 2019 brings.
That's awesome. Okay, my last one is to have more fun. You really have to stop and think about what you do and get rid of the stuff you don't like to do. Whether that means having someone do it for you, whether it means changing the way you do things, but we are so lucky to be able to do what we do. Just make it so you can have more fun. I did not have fun the last 2 months in my current job. It was horrific. Now, I've completely come up with new ways to save information that I need once I finish working with a brand, that I don't have to spend hours and hours going back trying to find it. All these things that I've kind of put in place make so much more sense. And it just was kind of like going through it. But if I didn't make those changes for next year, I mean, I would not like doing this and probably start doing something else. So just think about what you do. Think about what you'd love to do and do that more often. It sounds kind of basic, but it takes a little work because you only get one chance to enjoy today. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes courage to eliminate something.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get that. But I also think the longer we live, the easier it is to realize that you need to focus on the things you enjoy and get rid of the rest. It's just not worth it. Stop
exactly.
Don't do it.
Life's too short. I totally agree.
Yeah, my last item, which I firmly believe is important, and that is support other artists, buy more art. I think, it's really easy to surround yourself with your own paintings, and you should, because, of course, they're like children to us. We love everything we produce, but every artist should be now and then indulging themselves and buying the work of another hardworking artist. Treat yourself. There's a piece. I know a friend of mine who buys art that reminds her of what her goal is. In other words, she actually has a little David Chevlino painting just as you enter her studio. And she said, oh, that's because every morning I want to remember that I want to stay loose. And,
oh, I love that.
Great, right? Yeah.
Oh, I would love
or
one
you
of
just
his paintings.
See a piece that's, well, every now and then he pops them up there. But
yeah.
I think that's a really great goal because there's lots of ways to spend your hard-earned money. And why not use it to buy a piece of art that you're going to love?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, how great is it to support another artist.
Absolutely.
Around, so, yeah.
Love that.
So with
love that.
I can't believe 2018 is coming to an end, Leslie.
I know. Okay, I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and I'm so sorry that I didn't, but last year I did the 30 and 30, or this year I did the 30 and 30 in February and in September. I'm going to cut it down to once a year, so it's not going to happen until September. If I was going to do it, it would have been in February, but I just can't. I can't. So I think once a year is great for all of us, and I think we'll have great participation. And so you have
terrific.
A little bit of time off at the beginning of the year. Just saying.
I have to say, there's enough things on this list to do that I don't mind having a little time off. That's a great thing.
That I understand.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Margaret, great show. Thank you
so
much. It was awesome. And I think everything's really great. We're very
when you
great.
Get that when you get that carriage house studio cleared out, I want to see posted pictures on Instagram.
Oh, don't worry.
I want to see
it
what it looks
happen.
Like the after. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, have
all right.
A great
take
week.
Care.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.